Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You're welcome. This is Wretched Radio. I read Christianity Today, so you don't have to. There's a smell, an odor coming off of the magazine. I wonder what that smell might possibly be. Let's discover together, shall we? It's a newly designed Christianity Today. They make much ado about the fact that they're becoming more artistic in their design. It's a nice magazine. I mean, textually, visually. The contents, on the other hand, in this apolitical Christianity Today episode, let me describe for you the front cover. It's a church. It's like an old-style church, really pretty with light coming through the window, except for the fact that there's total chaos. People are running as if there is an active shooter inside of the building in a total panic and frenzy, screaming and yelling. And what is it that is causing such consternation? Oh, look, it's a huge elephant crashing into the church. Huh. I wonder what that symbolism indicates. The elephant just dominates the foot. Oh, look, there's a donkey. There's a donkey that's also inside of the church. But on the back cover, which is the continuation of the front cover painting, the donkey is trying to kick the monstrously huge elephant, which is coming down and crashing into the church. I wonder what they're trying to say. But they're apolitical. And Russell D. Moore, who apparently has not gotten over being called out by the former president of the United States on a national platform, has written an article titled, ready for this, Mount Zion or Mar-a-Lago. Oh, I didn't know that was the choice, that if you vote for the elephant party, you're picking Mar-a-Lago and denying Mount Zion. Do you see the positioning of this? Donald Trump, the Republicans, awful. Or do you want to vote Mount Zion?
It's a Mott and Bailey.
It's just crazy. This is what gets me. Okay, this is kind of buried inside of the article, which, by the way, has a picture of a cliff with Donald Trump having walked over it. And he's got a shepherd's crook with a bunch of sheep falling off of the cliff behind him. Nobody caught this at Christianity Today? Russell Moore writes, Christianity Today does not endorse candidates. Okay. All right, then. Thanks for telling me, because it sure looks like you're definitely denouncing one, which only leaves one choice. While this writer's views of the former president's fitness for office and its implications for the American Republic are public and emphatic, they're beside the point here. Except for the fact that that's what the article is about. Wow. The irony. All right, here's the beginning paragraph. If by some wonder of time travel, you were to visit a small group Bible study in 2010, and someone were to ask you, what's the state of the evangelical church where you are in 2024? It's a horribly constructed sentence. You might explain all of the divided congregations, all the friendships broken, all the estranged families. You might mention that almost no evangelical under the age of 40 wants to use the word evangelical at all. Is any of that accurate? To a degree, it is. But this article is definitely deficient in explaining why. He pits it as it's because of Donald Trump. And by the way, if you've ever listened to this program, we don't go about the business of heralding different political candidates. But I will once again go on the record as saying, I do not believe that an informed Christian can be voting for the donkey party. To do so is to endorse wickedness. And you say, but wait a second, I just saw the Republican Party platform. Yeah, I have to confess, when it comes to the issues of life, marriage, it's a disappointment. It ain't the same Republican Party platform that it was even in 2020. Did you know in 2020 and 2016, there was an article that denounced Obergefell? That's gone. Furthermore, a calling for a national referendum against abortion, which should be a societal no-brainer. Wait, you're dismembering children just because they're inside of the mother's womb? You think somehow that allows you to be a big bully? There's just a watering down on the life position. It is a disappointment. And it will cause Christians to continually have to scratch their heads and go, all right, we got to sort through this now. We got to sort through that. Because I think at this rate, it's probably just a matter of time before the Republican Party of the 2020s looks like the Democratic Party of the 1990s. That's my observation. But to vote for a party that is bent on the destruction of babies, to allow children and adults to get mutilated under the guise of medical care? Woo! Having said that, Russell Moore is so outraged at Donald Trump. So this is the article continuing. And if someone were to ask, how did all this division happen? Well, I would answer the question. It's because one party has decided to embrace evil. The other party's flirting with it, but they're dancing with the devil. These issues are not the issues of the days of old. These are huge issues of safety for human beings, a diminishing of any sort of even, I'll even say this, rather than saying godly values, natural law values, all of it is being downgraded. That's why there's division in families. These issues aren't small. In fact, I would suggest to you, if division weren't happening, it would be bizarre. It would be to demonstrate there's a lack of understanding of the issues, and we've been seeing that, haven't we? And Andy Stanley apparently doesn't think that abortion and mutilation is that big of a deal, and you can vote for a Democrat. What? Do you not understand what is happening? That the children? This is a genocide right in front of us? Whew, that's why, Russell. But nevertheless, here's his explanation. You might mention that a revolutionary leader emerged demanding loyalty and vowing retribution and revenge against those who stand against him. Jimmy, did you sign the loyalty to Trump card that got sent in the mail?
No.
You might add that the leader asked his supporters to wave away his sexual abuse of women, his criminal charges for seeking to use mob violence to keep him in power, his hush money to a porn star, his incitements to violence, his lies, his cruelty, his narcissism, and his dismissal of personal moral character as weakness. May I remind you that this writer has no axe to grind in this article. While this writer's views are public and emphatic, they're beside the point here. Then why do you mention all of them? Unbelievable. This article continues, unfortunately. CT readers and contributors have a range of political views. Republicans, Democrats, independents, Trump voters, Biden voters, conscientious objectors to voting at all, those who write in Steph Curry, and more. Well, this is a magazine without conviction. Are we to be endorsing a political party? I think an individual can. I don't think a church or a denomination should. But to not speak out on these issues? Really? That any of those things that were just read, any of those things, let's just say everything in the list, the laundry list of evils of the Republican candidate are true. Let's just say that that's true. Are you going to compare that to abortion? Millions of kids being murdered right in front of us. Families being ripped apart because the school doesn't tell the parents. And when the parents intervene to try to protect their children from getting mutilated because they're confused at the moment, that's not as bad. Sorry. I just don't weigh moral issues that way. Back to the article. The implication that to be a Christian, one must adopt a particular political ideology or partisan identity. Hold on. I'm not suggesting that. Fine. Shouldn't do that. But to not call out what is wicked and evil is another thing. I'm not going to start wearing a Republican Party pin. But to not identify what is actually happening, I just think it's spectacularly naive. Hold on. He continues. This is awfully close to the Galatian heresy the Apostle Paul called a different gospel altogether. Oh, is that what it is? Christianity Today revealing it's a little less than, well, filled with honesty and integrity when it comes to the issue of politics. This is a contentious season, and it does get dicey. I grant you that, because even as I'm delivering this diatribe, I recognize somebody could go, well, you're kind of doing what he's saying there. I'm trying not to, but I'm definitely trying to say, but there's a donkey party, and you read its platform, and there is no way that a Christian can possibly hold the lever for somebody who has got a D behind their name. This is Wretched Radio. Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
All right, Christian, are you, like most of us, concerned about the direction our culture is headed? Yeah, well, listen up, because we are about to launch a brand new initiative within this ministry. We're bringing together 8 brilliant Christian thinkers to create content that tackles today's toughest issues head on. Think of it like a Christian version of the Daily Wire. These experts will be producing articles, podcasts, videos, and even homeschool curriculum. They'll cover everything from ethics and evangelism to science and Gen Z issues. It's all about equipping you to navigate our complex and ever-changing brave new world with biblical wisdom. But here's the thing. We need your support in order to make this happen. We're currently in the middle of a match campaign, a $250,000 match campaign, where every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. If you want to learn more about this initiative and the incredible minds behind it, just visit wretched.org/fellows right now. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints.
He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, the shame. This is Wretched Radio. How can I talk about the life issue for so long and not bring up Preborn Ministries? I'm wearing sackcloth. It's itchier than you think and dirt on your head. Ooh, that doesn't come out easily. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful. Ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. There, we were watching some show, and it was some sort of, it was a medical drama, and we were watching it because there was no sex in it. They were not blaspheming, and there was no swearing. And I'm like, really? I didn't know they made such things. Well, there was none of that, but wow, was there liberal indoctrination going on? It was so bad. I mean, they were promoting critical race theory, that we need socialistic medicine. It's like, wow. And this is what people consume, and this is how their worldview is formed and shaped. I've never seen anything like it. That this is, this type of ideology is dramatized and presented in such a way where it's like, well, how can you possibly feel that way, you conservative curmudgeon? When you've got the doctor saying, oh, dealing with a kid, this, he's going to commit suicide if he's not allowed to get the medical care necessary for him to live in the body that is appropriate for him. I'm like, what? And it's just a drama. Wow. And it's powerful. And how many, when we don't watch a lot of this stuff, and we stop watching it, by the way, but how much of this is going on out there? The liberals, they do indeed own Hollywood, and don't let anybody fool you. Their worldview, wow, does it come out. And one of the episodes was of a girl who had been, there were two stories of women who were pregnant. And the one woman who was, they were doing everything they could to save this baby because mom wanted the baby, so we're going to do everything we can to save this baby. But then there was a girl who had apparently consensual activities resulting in what those activities are designed to result in, pregnancy, and she didn't want the baby. So they were like, well, then we got to fight. Hey, she's got special needs, but we got to get over that, and we've got to fight against the government and call up the state senator to get this so she can have her abortion. If that's the case, why are you mourning over the loss of the child? Simply because the mother wants it? Hey, that's what I call a big Dred Scott bully, that there are some who make decisions about others, whether they get to live or die. Staggering worldview presented in a drama. And I couldn't help but think, oh, this is why so many young people are not going the way of their parents, because they watch this stuff. You could watch these shows, and you could see your child perhaps watching a show, and it's like, hey, what do we got in there for sexual image? Oh, there aren't any? Okay. But worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. Mom and Dad, you're up against it, which is why I would heartily encourage you to be fully embedded in a local church. Get your kids in, and there better be a youth group that isn't filled with shenanigans. They don't need it. They get that all day, every day. They need Bible teaching. They need instruction. They don't need pizza parties. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched. And whilst I failed to make that announcement, Jimmy, I'm succeeding in making this announcement. Check out this. See if you like this title right now. This is, I don't know if you've ever been involved in stuff like this. Titling books or titling podcasts or TV show, radio shows, it's like a thing. And it can be, there's so much subjectivism that's involved. And there's some objective stuff. And everybody has an opinion about stuff. So Greg Gifford is writing a new book. Greg Gifford, who hosts the Transform podcast, which is magnificent. If you're not listening to it every week, you're missing an opportunity to grow and to love the Lord more. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. He's coming to town, and we came up with a name for what he's going to be doing. Because right now there's debate going on about the title for his book. So excited about this book. He's going to lay out the biblical distinction that secular psychology tends, not always, but tends to fail to recognize. They're starting to get on board a little bit, but they're way behind schedule compared to the Bible. The outer man, inner man, the physical and the you that you don't measure anyway. It's the inner man. It's your soul. It's who you are. And Dr. Gifford is going to explain the difference between the brain and the mind so that when you receive, because it's probably just a matter of time. Frankly, if any of us went to the doctor and just expressed sometimes how we're feeling, we'd all be written up with a psychotropic medication prescription in order to heal our mental, well, it doesn't heal, it just masks everything, our mental illness. So when that diagnosis happens, when the prescription is written, how do you work through it as a Christian? That's what that book is going to tackle. And Dr. Gifford is going to be in studio next week. 10 lectures on this subject. It's spread out over 2 days. You can go to either one, the Friday, July the 19th session, 7 o'clock at night. Saturday, we start at 9 a.m. Got to arrive between 8:30 and 8:45, though. And he's going to deliver these 10 lectures. If you are into biblical counseling and you can be here in Atlanta, join us. If you're not into biblical counseling, join us, because you will go, oh, wow. Whoa, wait, hold it. The Bible addresses that? Yes, it does. You can get your name put down on the list. We'd love to see you. Wretched.org/mental health. Which is kind of funny, because it's going to be pretty much an assault on the subject of mental health. It's what it's going to be. Wretched.org/mental health. Here's the title. Life Without the Numb. I like it. I like it a lot. And then there's a subtitle. Why psychotropic medications are probably not the solution for your mental health issue. Join us if you can next week in Atlanta. Wretched.org/mental health. Jimmy? You going to be there?
Maybe. You're going to put me on the spot.
It's such a sweet time, because it's in the TV studio. And so it's just us, everybody hanging out for hours at a crack with great teaching. And then, by the way, Dr. Gifford is also going to be preaching Sunday morning at Alpharetta Bible Church. Would love to see you there. If you don't have a local church, if you do and it's solid, then you should be there, which... It's an interesting thing, these Christian conventions. There's a way that you can tell who really values the local church. The Christian conference that goes into Saturday night, hey, it starts Thursday night, goes through Saturday night, and people aren't going to be able to get to church on Sunday because of travel. Good conferences? No. Saturday noon, get home. Get to your local church. That is where you belong. And I'll say it again, Mom and Dad, seriously, maybe you're going to get some kicking and screaming. Get your kid into that church. And adults, older people, identify those kids and start talking to them. I'm screening my thoughts at the moment. That's the sound that it makes when I do that. As was at church once, young man standing there. And I decided to practice what I've been preaching about engaging with younger people. How you doing, young man? Good. No, seriously. How are you doing? Really bad. Whoa, wait. What? All I did was just press it. That's all. Just that much. Because he's got stuff going on in his life. And he was more than willing to talk about it because I simply showed an interest. And we need to be doing that. Parents need your help. If you are a gray hair, you're an empty nester, please don't stop parenting. Okay, not even co-parenting, supportive parenting in the context of your local church. Because the kids are getting drubbed, whether it's a medical drama, it's the stuff in textbooks in school and in music. Oh, what was the song that I heard the other day? It was someplace, and it had the lyrics up underneath so I could actually understand them. If it makes you feel happy. Okay, that was a song from like however long. If it makes you feel happy, it can't be bad. Whoa. What? We need to be supporting parents with kids because they got it stacked against them. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in Arkansas, that's where we start, a group called Arkansans for Limited Government claims to have gathered over 100,000 signatures from all 75 counties to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot this fall. Now, you might think an organization with limited government in its name would be all about, well, limiting government. But in this case, think again. We live in an upside-down world at the moment. This organization seems to want to expand government reach right into the womb. The proposed amendment would nullify Arkansas's current protections for the unborn, allowing abortions up to 18 weeks and beyond in certain cases. This in a state that saw zero abortions in 2023. Arkansas Right to Life warns that the measure could make it impossible and illegal to pass any common sense protections for the unborn child or her mother in the future. But they're not taking it lying down because they've started a statewide canvassing effort. Arkansas will join 8 other states with similar ballot initiatives in the works. Looks like the battle for life is definitely heating up. On military news, former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer is speaking out after being ousted in 2021 for criticizing the spread of woke ideology in the armed forces. Lohmeyer, who wrote a book on the subject, told Fox News that he was fired for being publicly critical of critical race theory. Lohmeyer argues that such ideologies are dividing the troops and calls for eliminating diversity, equity, and inclusion trainings from the military. He said, quote, "You gave your life and service to your country and the American people, and you're not doing it for the pay. You're doing it because you've become convinced of the greatness of the American ideal." Meanwhile, the Biden administration has requested an additional $114.7 million for diversity programs in the upcoming fiscal year, a total of $269.2 million in taxpayer dollars on military diversity since Biden took office. I guess in the new woke military, the enemy isn't just over there. It's potentially also the person in the bunk next to you with differing political views. Thanks for that. In a tragic turn of events in Kentucky, a mass shooting at a 21st birthday party in Florence left 4 dead and 3 wounded. The suspect, a 21-year-old, had previously been convicted of unlawful transaction with a minor stemming from a 2021 incident involving a 13-year-old girl. Despite the serious nature of his crime, the offender received only a 5-year suspended sentence and probation, and later violating that said probation, but was again released. And this case is one that raises some pretty serious questions about our justice system's handling of such offenders and the potential consequences of lenient sentencing. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures. His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What exactly does it mean to live above reproach? This is Wretched Radio. Recently made one of them their YouTube videos, recognizing that so many disgraced pastors quickly return to the pulpit. Why? Because they go through some sort of restoration process. They were formerly disgraced, but they've been restored and back into the pulpit they go. And my position on the subject is that once a pastor is no longer above reproach, which is a qualification for an elder that should cause every pastor to shudder in fear, if you are no longer above reproach, well, then you can't be a pastor anymore ever. That's it. You're just, it's okay. You sinned. You've been forgiven. You are a member of a local church. Can you be participating in the life of that church? Absolutely. Can you be a pastor? No. And a lot of people, and once again, I have to tell you, I see some of the internet that is out there, the way that people talk to one another. I'm not sure which platform it is, but I have to tell you, I don't know that I have read in the last years on the wretched YouTube page, Facebook post, emails that I received where somebody was just ugly. I haven't, just mature, godly believer saying, hey, you said this, but what about that? Or I see it a different way, which, by the way, love, love, love it when you send that, because it just helps us to be sharper. And so it is. I received an email that was sent in by, where are my glasses? Yikes. It was sent in by Dave. Thank you, Dave, for sending this in. He saw that video and he said, hey, what can we define what it means to be above reproach? Because what pastor doesn't sin? And I would affirm that, of course, pastors still sin. But we have to recognize there are degrees of sin in God's eyes and in the eyes of the world. At least for now, there are some sins that I think even the world would go, that's grotesque. That is really, really awful compared to, okay, so a guy who is found with child porn on his computer versus a guy who he fudged the numbers on his expense account. You'd go, okay, well, look, shouldn't have done that, but wait, what? We need to recognize that the world has standards. Now, we need to be careful that we don't disqualify a pastor because the world is simply disgruntled or agitated because they're speaking the truth. That is not being below reproach. That's being a pastor who takes a beating for simply being biblical. But when the world can say, wait, that pastor did what? They're living how? Then we got a problem with that, because that doesn't seem consistent with what you people say Christianity is supposed to be. And by the way, speaking of one of those guys, Benny Hinn, he went on to, I think it was 5 years ago, Costi Hinn, his nephew, who is pastoring a church, I believe in Arizona. And wow, they're doing a great job there. Costi Hinn wrote a book, and it was loving. It was a critique of the prosperity gospel, including his own uncle, Benny Hinn. And Benny Hinn went on TV and he said, I've made some mistakes. I've gone a little bit too far. Quote, I'm sorry to say that prosperity has gone a little crazy. A little. And I'm correcting my own theology. You need to know that. When I read the Bible now, I don't see the Bible in the same eyes I saw 20 years ago. Quote, I think it is an offense to the Lord to say, give $1,000. I think it's an offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it. I will never ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amount, because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it. Quote from like a few weeks ago from Benny Hinn. Only those who've been faithful in giving to God's work will be protected financially in the dark days ahead. Wait, the leopard didn't change his spots? What? I thought he apologized. No, he didn't. An apology, genuine biblical repentance, would have been, he's writing out a lot of checks, returning an awful lot of money that he bilked from people. Quote, a faithful man will abound with blessing. You can't lose your seed. Any farmer will tell you that. You can't lose your seed, because seed goes into your tomorrow. Seed goes into your future. Seed produces a harvest that has seed in it. You can't lose a seed. Yes, you can lose money, but not a seed. So give today. God will bless you over and over and over.
But he didn't ask for $1,000.
But he did say in his original policy, or whatever amount.
Okay.
So it's the same shenanigans. This is a man who is not living above reproach. And there was an article, incidentally, this is the Christian Post. It's the Trinity Foundation. I believe that they try to keep tabs on some of these high-profile guys, the big buck guys that you see in their private jets with their jewelry and their beach houses. They searched property records to discover, mostly in Florida, by the way, that 40 beach properties, and they say that it's within a mile of the beach, 40 are owned by different pastors/preachers with a combined worth of $140 million. That's like averaging over $3 million a house. Who are these people? Oh, there it is. Benny Hinn has two beach homes, one of which is located in Dana Point, California, and valued at $12 million. There you have it. Joel Osteen, by the way, he purchased a beach house in Newport Coast, California for $5 million in 2017, currently worth $11 million. And people will say, but Joel doesn't take a salary from his church. No, because that would be a pittance compared to the speaking fees, the book sales, the royalties. That is where the big money is made for these guys. And sometimes the churches will buy large quantities of books to give away, and then the pastor even gets that royalty money. Men who operate like this, the world looks at it and rightly goes, that they're not above reproach. They're not living. That's not how a Christian pet. Jesus rode in on a donkey. Please, that's just not above reproach. But Dave fairly asked the question, well, where does this line get drawn? And what we need, I think the starting place is that we recognize there are lines. So I think you would say that a pastor who has been found of some really grotesque sexual sin, we would be like, yeah, they're gone and for good. Okay, so there's a line. So let's start with the extreme and then just start going down the hill and start seeing which sin. What about a pastor who watches pornography? What about a pastor who's only watched it like 7 times in the last year? What about those things? Now, certainly we would recognize that there are gradations of sins and that no man ever lives a spotless life except Jesus. So where do we draw that line? And I think the answer to that is you've got to have some principles in mind because there are circumstances that can be involved. There are some things that are different than others that you would say, you know what? That person shouldn't be disqualified. But here's what I do think that we also need to agree on, that once disqualified. You're not above reproach. So Dave asked these questions. Would this apply to deacons as well? I think so. Should there be some discerning between what kind of sin is committed? Absolutely, but not regarding restoration. See, the standard is if you're not above reproach, if the local body has made that decision about the pastor that he's not above reproach or he's just been outed for that, well, then that doesn't matter what the sin is. If that's the conclusion of the matter, then he's done. So it's not about, well, okay, so he was disqualified for kind of a lesser sin so he can be restored. No. If you get disqualified, you're pulled out of the game of pastoral ministry. Some of these sins that require a pastor to step down should not disqualify them for ever returning. Well, that's what Dave said in his email. I would say I disagree. No, once you're disqualified, you're disqualified. Do I think Dave, by the way, is a horrible human being? Absolutely not. And Dave, I'm grateful for your email. But I would argue that there's just no exceptions to the rule because it's not about how shameful the act is. It is about that the act was shameful enough to rise to the level of not being above reproach. Now, having said all of that, Dave brings up an interesting dynamic. What about the pastor whose kid is out of control and he needs to step down for a time to get his family under control? Okay, I get that. And I think that we can bring wisdom to this, and some long godly conversations need to happen about something like that. But then I would say he's not a disqualified man. He's just a man who needs to take a sabbatical to deal with family issues. And that's, I think that's the distinction. So I do believe that there are rules and that there are definitely principles that we should stick to. That means once an individual is not above reproach, that individual is forever disqualified. Having said that, wisdom is required. This is Wretched Radio.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transform.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Adam Tyson.
It's because of God's great love for you that he brings trials into your life. He sent his son to die on a cross for you so that he could bring trials in your life to make you more like his son.
Dr. Tyson is one of the new 8 voices that will soon be joining this ministry, creating content to speak to the brave new world that we're currently living in. And your support, well, it can help us bring more voices like that of Dr. Adam Tyson's to the forefront. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign today, every dollar you give to this brand new initiative will be doubled. Just visit wretched.org/fellows for more information right now to see how together we can make a difference and transform lives for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just visit wretched.org/fellows. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. Can a loving God be wrathful? If God loves righteousness, loves people, and wants what is best for his creation, he must hate what runs contrary to his will. God must always respond to sin with wrath, and his wrath must be satisfied. It is either satisfied on the cross, or each person will bear God's wrath eternally in hell. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Calvin, if you're listening, can we talk? This is Wretched Radio. No, I'm not talking about John Calvin. I'm talking about Calvin Robinson. This is a fellow who was studying to be a priest in the Anglican Communion, got himself into a little hot water because he would not affirm CRT, the racism inside of the Anglican Communion, and the marriage issue. And so he left the Anglican Communion, and I wasn't exactly sure where he landed, but now I am. He is a part of the Nordic Catholic Church, which has a limited relationship and association with the Roman Catholic Church. And yet there are some variances in dogmas, but they do share many similar beliefs, specifically regarding the Virgin Mary. This is a man, I enjoy listening to him talk. He always seems kindly. He seems firm on the issues of marriage and genders, family, all excellent, the life issue. It's like, dude, you just rock on that. But now that he's left the Anglican Communion, he is a part of a denomination that venerates the Virgin Mary. He was recently on a podcast talking about his defense of venerating the Virgin Mary.
So Mary is important because, oh, so many reasons. But so Mary is the new Eve.
Okay. That's an allegorical approach to scripture. There's nowhere in the Bible that says she's the new Eve. That is an interpretive motif that you have to place on top of the Bible that says this is that, that you can identify something in the new based on what you see in the old. So in this instance, Eve, she was a type of Mary. The problem is there's just nothing in the New Testament that suggests there is anybody else who qualifies for types and shadows than Jesus Christ himself. And so this, it makes sense that he would think that, but it also reveals a really bad hermeneutic, allegorical interpretation. And let me tell you something, that stuff can get major league wonky. We talk about that at Herman Who, available at wretched.org.
So if Christ is the new Adam, Mary is the new Eve.
Okay. What? If Christ, but Eve wasn't the mother of Adam. He was the wife of Adam. I believe, yes, Romans 5, Jesus is our better Adam by a lot. But Eve would have had to have been the mother of Adam to now be the Eve mother.
The new first woman, the new lady that shows us how you can live a life without sin.
The problem is she recognized in her Magnificat that she needed a savior. This old Nordic church, this Catholic church, that's not old Nordic, it's Nordic Catholic Church. I think they were founded right at the very end of the 20th century, so it's not that old. They just go back to old documents, early church councils, more like 4th, 5th century councils when things started to go off the rails regarding the subject of Theotokos. This was a debate that happened in the early church about Mary. Is she the mother of God? And the answer to that is, well, yeah, it depends on how you understand that and what sort of emphasis you want to put on that Greek term. She's the mother of God in that she was the one who carried our Savior, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost. So, yes, she bore the God-man, Jesus Christ. And the early church, they came up with a term, Theotokos, mother of God. Initially, the emphasis was to remind everybody that the baby is the God-man Jesus, not that she's in an elevated status as mother of God. It appears that that's the way this Nordic Catholic Church views her, as being of superior rank and sinless after the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, which is interesting because nowhere in the Bible does it say that once she conceived, that somehow she was living a sinless life. Nothing in the Bible about that.
Rather than obviously the fallen approach of Adam and Eve, she's also literally the tabernacle, as in she.
Hold on. No. Jesus tabernacled among us. Hebrews 8 through 10. The type is identified. This is an allegorical approach. So here's this explanation for Eve being the tabernacle.
It was the vessel that contained God. Right?
Okay. Well, Jesus Christ is the vessel who contained God. That's the way that it's described for us in John 1. He tabernacled among us. Please read Hebrews 8 through 10, because not only does it identify that the tabernacle is a type of Jesus, I believe every piece of furniture inside of it and the human beings that performed the rituals were all pointing toward Jesus Christ. Only when the New Testament says that back there is a picture of Jesus here, do we know for sure that we're dealing with a type? Do I believe that there are some types in the Old Testament that are not identified in the New? I know this maybe might rankle somebody who's really strict on typology. And I consider myself to be one of those people. But if Joseph is not a picture of Jesus, whew, you almost have to work hard to not see that Joseph is a type of Jesus, hated by his brothers, sold for the cost of a slave, that he was imprisoned, and that he rescued his brothers. Honestly, that is like, wow, if that isn't a picture of Jesus Christ, I don't know what is. But it is only Jesus that qualifies for types and shadows, not Mary or anybody else.
She is the mother of God. She gave birth to Christ.
In that regard, yes.
So that makes her essentially, well, ultimately important.
Hold on a second. What makes Mary more important? What do you mean? Mary's more important than whom? Another saved believer? Now, to be clear, this young lady was chosen for something infinitely spectacular. And we need to recognize it. And I don't want to go in the other ditch of like, oh, well, she wasn't special at all. She was special because she was chosen by God. Sinless? Absolutely not. Ranking higher somehow? No, you're either in Christ or you're out. She needed a redeemer. She said it herself. She needs a redeemer. I need a redeemer. When you are in Christ, everybody's rank is the same. Everybody's.
So what the reason we venerate her so much, and we don't worship Mary, we do venerate her.
And we all recognize that distinction is almost indiscernible.
We ask her to pray for us.
Hold on. Why would you speak to somebody who can't hear you? There is one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how much clearer it can be than that.
Because she is the closest person to God.
Nope.
Being his mother and the queen mother.
That's Roman Catholic, that she's the queen of heaven. Who is the closest to God the Father? That's easy. It's not Mary. It's Jesus Christ himself.
In the times of Christ and in different cultures, the queen mother is the most important person in the monarchy after the king. Obviously, Christ is the king.
And where does it say that she's the queen in the Bible?
In other cultures, the queen, as in the consorts, the person married to the king is most important. But at the time of Christ, it would have been the queen mother, the king's mother.
But got to be careful here that you don't use something in the world that does indeed have a reflection with a heavenly connection to somehow turn that into theology and doctrine.
Would have had more authority. So she has that authority in heaven over the saints. And
can't find a single Bible verse that suggests that. Not a single one. We don't hear much about Mary after the birth of Jesus. We do see her in Matthew chapter 12, for instance, where she and Jesus' brothers, which are identified by name, are knocking on the door to say, we'd like to talk to our brother, we'd like to talk to our son, we'd like to talk to Jesus. And Jesus points at the disciples and says, these are my mother and brothers. We see her at the wedding in Canaan. Woman, what does this have to do with me? Why are you making this request? It wasn't disrespectful, but it absolutely was not an elevation. We just don't see that in the Bible. And then we don't see Mary, and we don't know how she died. We don't read anything about any sort of ascension into heaven. We don't read anything about her holding some sort of special place where her prayers are more valued than the prayers of you or Jesus, for that matter.
We look to her for guidance and for prayer and her support, and whenever we're in trouble.
What? I thought that was what the Holy Spirit was for.
Of course, we pray straight to God, the Father, through Christ, but also we pray to her, to ask for her to pray on our behalf and intercede for us is the word we use.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jesus is our intercessory prayer. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Bummer to hear this, because he's a really sharp young man. But this is I think the Protestant reformers would have had a word or two to speak to Calvin Robinson in his veneration of Mary, because you just don't find it in the Bible. We have one mediator between God and man. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.